Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. Last presentation, a lot of audience. Exactly. Continuing from yesterday's presentation, I work on bioenergy, so I'll talk about the bioenergy and water footprints and other implications of it. And my co-authors, Trenzi Zinon, Jiquan Chen from University of Toledo, Hamilton and Robertson from Michigan State University. And yesterday I talked about different feedstocks and their water footprints and their water use efficiencies and water use, which is important. But as I said, scale is very important, and I would like to talk about large-scale site convergence from grasslands versus croplands to bioenergy production. And I will talk about three crops. And we use the edicovariance techniques. Land use change has lately been recognized as a global force with large implications for hydrological cycle, obviously. And so our questions were, and hypothesis which they were based on, were that depending on what feedstock we choose for bioenergy, there could be changes in the flood hydrology, stream flows based on evapotranspiration, and based on the losses as evapotranspiration, we could have limited or increased water availability in the landscape, and I will tell you how we calculated different scenarios here. So the objectives of our studies were to, first of all, determine evapotranspiration, obviously, for these crops, water use efficiency, and determine the water footprints. Regarding water footprints, I would say that our analysis stops at the farm gate level and not going to the refinery or to further extend it. And we are looking for, in this particular study, we're looking for three bioenergy cropping systems, corn, switchgrass, and prairie system, and convergence from two types of land uses, already existing cropland versus grassland. And grassland, I'm talking about a CRP grassland, and cropland, I'm talking about a typical corn-soybean agricultural land. And then to analyze the effects of these crop choices and land management on the water loss and its implications for total landscape water availability. Water footprints, simple definitions. Water footprint is a big concept, though. Amount of water used to generate a product, any product. And it has temporal and spatial dimensions. That's why I'm saying our analysis stops at the farm gate level for this particular study I'm presenting here. Crop water requirement is evapotranspiration divided by yield. And water footprints, when we do it for biofuels, would be, we'll take into consideration the density of fuel and the feedstock biofuel conversion ratio, how much biofuel we will get from a particular feedstock, and water use efficiency, again, crop yield divided by total evapotranspiration. Our sites, since yesterday I presented on the plot scale, which was 1 hectare plot, we extended our studies to bigger plots, let's say sites, each site 10 to 20 hectares in size. What we did was that we chose 3 CRP grasslands and 3 agricultural areas, which are 10 to 20 hectares large. And in 2008, these CRP lands were converted to bioenergy totally by killing the grass herbicide application. And these agricultural sites were also converted from a typical conventional agricultural practices to bioenergy. And I will show the scenarios, what scenarios took place. And compared to these systems, we also took a CRP grassland as a control. So we did not do anything as such continued as CRP grassland. Each of these sites in the center, almost in the center, had a edicovariance system to monitor the water and carbon footprints. And these are very interesting sites, very interesting studies. Already 3 papers in Global Change Biology, Bioenergy, and 1 paper in Proceedings of National Academy of Sciences. Such interesting results are coming from these. But what is more interesting is that before starting in the first year of conversion, obviously there were 2 types of land uses, CRP grassland, agricultural land. There must be some differences. These sites were existing here for more than 20 years. Actually, these sites are existing here the agriculture site were under some kind of cultivation for last 70 years. By image analysis, we see in 1935 even these sites were managed, but not for corn or soybean, but they were managed. And CRP grasslands were under some kind of land use, and but 20 years back, they were converted to a CRP, approximately 18 years CRP land use under CRP program, which is Conservation Reserve Program by United States Department of Agriculture. They retired the lands to make them, to conserve the diversity there, conserve the, to control the erosion and everything. They provide incentives to the farmers. And so what we did is we did the analysis based on two formulas, two indices, soil quality index and a land marginality index, which we devised here based on Sergo data. We determined what was the land quality of these sites, actually, because it's a large scale, so we need to do that. And also, what was the soil quality of these sites? Are there any differences between these two types of land uses over 20 years of period? And yes, there were large differences between these. And this paper already is in Global Change Biology Bioenergy. So agricultural sites had better, more marginality. That means land quality was low, that based on the elevation, morphology, erosion, and we used several factors, like land capability factor, slope factor, erodibility factor, conductivity factor, which is the conductivity of the profile to 1 meter down. And yeah, there were land quality differences between agriculture and CRP lands. And there were soil quality differences. Over 20 years of period, CRP lands had more soil carbon, better nutrient, and other things. We used 20 parameters to categorize these lands into these. And the experimental design was that starting from 2008, baseline, we took two types of land uses, grassland, cropland. In 2009, all of these land uses, whatever was growing there, the grasses, the weeds, the CRP broom grass, was killed, totally killed by applying herbicide. And soybeans were planted there in all of the sites to make them uniform condition for bioenergy change analysis. And in 2010, in these sites, three sites were planted to corn, to prairie, to switchgrass. And we also included in 2010 oats, because such large-scale sites converted to bioenergy or any crop would may induce erosion and other environmental implications, so we had to include a cover crop. And in 2011, we have a pure corn, prairie, switchgrass treatment. So there are six treatments based on what land use we changed from, plus one control. And to give you a visual indication of how it happened was there was a cropland and there was a grassland converted to soybean, six sites, and then these six sites converted to corn, switchgrass, and prairie. And these are the adequate awareness towers located in one of in these sites. And there's a control, CRP grassland, maintained as such. So seven fantastic systems to see what is the flow of carbon, what is the flow of water in these systems, whether these sites will be sinks or sources of these things. And the experimental techniques which we use, adequate awareness measurement of water energy fluxes, and the components of adequate awareness system was sonic anemometer, 3D wind speed components, 10 to 20 hertz, that means 10 to 20 times per second the measurements are taken. And then carbon dioxide and water infrared gas analyzer, LICOR 7500, which has an infrared source and a detector, and water and carbon dioxide concentrations are determined. It's a fairly standard technique now, one of the best to measure carbon and water fluxes. These are the results for the first year when we converted to soybeans. Yesterday I was seeing one of the presentation in the lab in the small jars and saying it doesn't vary at all. The water evapotranspiration from the crops, whether it's irrigated or non, that's why I'm saying scale is very important. If you see the footprints of these land areas which were converted to soybean, one crop, the water footprint varied from 2000 to 9,000 liters, cubic meter per megagram of grains produced. That means 2,000 to 9,000 liters of water between for one single crop, soybeans. And similarly, the water footprints for the energy also varied so much. I mean, water footprint simply in this calculation is opposite of water use efficiency. That's what is water use efficiency, three times the variation in these based on infrared, these adiabatic techniques. And what we looked at, so, you know, the sites were CRP, but the quality was different even in CRP. They were not, CRP is not one CRP, and agriculture is not one agriculture. Every crop is different, every land is different, every inch is different, actually. And based on our indices, what we saw is in the first year analysis was that land quality and land marginality, that means land quality and soil quality, affected the ANPP. The whatever we got on the sites was directly affected by these parameters, and they were directly related. So the soil quality was, if you see, when the soil quality increased, the NPP, or the primary productivity of the land, the yield increased. On the other hand, when the land marginality increased, the yield decreased. So you see the lighter areas coming down here. So they, you know, there are large scale sites here. This is the best possible analysis which could be done on these. And similar were the results for the water footprints. The soil quality and land marginality both affected water footprints and linearly changed for even this size of sites. And the conclusions were that, you know, it's one crop is not similar to another crop, one land is not similar to another land. It's very difficult to say that, you know, this crop you take there would have this water footprint and this water use. And there was a strong effect on the water footprints by the bioenergy crops and the soil and land quality. And then we proceeded to next year when these land areas were converted to three more crops, major crops which we are considering for bioenergy these years. And what we saw is in within 2 years, second year, first of all, the differences between the CRP grassland conversion and agricultural land conversion came down very close. So the differences which we saw in organic carbon or nutrient started to vanish almost within 1 year. And so, you know, already, if you see, there was no advantage from a CRP land in establishment of these crops anyway. They were same for agriculture, same as in agriculture land. But still, there were some differences in during the growth period, in the water use, the evapotranspiration. But still, there were differences, and we found the benefits. So what we did is, based on these calculations for 3 years, we determined the water use, so, you know, daily. There was half an hourly evapotranspiration determined, which was averaged to a daily evapotranspiration. And then cumulated for a season, we determined how much water was used. So this is the water use. Water use varied from the crop to crop, obviously, and also in the gross primary productivity varied from crop to crop, highest in the corn and lower in soybean and all that. Based on these analyses, what we did is next step, which is very important, which I think is very important, is to calculate the scenarios if we convert particular areas for bioenergy on a landscape, what will happen to the water, where will water go, and whether we will have deficit of water or we will have surplus of water, which is important, and I will talk about that in my conclusions. And what we saw is, if there's a conversion from cropland to bioenergy, and when I'm talking about cropland, that means a typical corn soybean cropland to bioenergy, and these five bioenergy crops, then if it is CRP grassland or brome grass planted or corn rotation, that landscape will lose water. That means our streams would have 2,200,000 liters of less water per hectare. On the other hand, if a grassland is converted to bioenergy, and this grassland is a CRP, typical CRP grassland, and bioenergy is these five scenarios, then except for corn rotation, we will not lose water, but there will be a surplus water in the landscape, which is quite interesting, actually. And I would say this is very important because I'm presenting this in ESA meeting, and I also presented in ESA meeting a similar analysis, and it all depends which audience you talk to, because the stakeholders are very different in both these scenarios. In high water in not high water use efficiency, in water use efficiency, the stakeholder is the producer who want to have more produce and lesser water used for that produce. And in water use, the stakeholder is the community, which would lose water from their streams, and streams which sustain very vital ecosystems, which we appreciate very much. So we need to be very cautious when we choose the feedstocks based on how much water we can afford to lose from our landscape. And the optimum solution, obviously, would be a better choice. And that's my final conclusions. It will all depend on crops and land uses. And with that, I thank you, and I can take any questions you have.
This is the last talk, so yeah, you guys can ask me. No time. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Those CRPRs, if they produce it somewhere, so it will just.
Yeah, so see, what happened with CRP is that, you know, USDA gives money to the producers. Most of the times what happens is when some farmer finds that he is not getting optimum yield from a site, right? It's a poor land, still growing corn, but it's not worth it. They want to get some money from USDA. And, you know, what happens is they plant brome grass and switchgrass there. Brome is very dominant crop, right? So it takes over. And they have to manage it very minimally so that, you know, they have to maintain the bird species there and other ecosystem services. So ecosystem services is the main concept behind CRP lands. Mm-hmm. But they're managed by, they're not really managed. Once in 3 years, you have to mow the grasses just to maintain the, you know, landscape a little bit.
What about the croplands?
The croplands is very intensively managed. So, you know, every year planting corn, next year soybean,
so
corn. Oh, yeah. All these sites were actually by the farmers. Fortunately for our luck, you know, there were big farmers in Michigan who donated those lands for us to totally convert to these because they were interested. Do it. You're studying bioenergy. We want to see what happens.
You had flax towers in all those?
In the center there were towers. And, you know, there are different reactions by the farmers. Last year what happens, one of the farmers, you know, they see these flux towers there. They say, well, I don't know what these guys are doing here, but they're spoiling our TV signals here, maybe because of these things. A person came with a truck. He destroyed all the flux tower with, you know, doom, zoom, racing on the site. And that's it. And went away. So, yeah, there are different reactions by farmers there. But, you know, they're very interesting sites. The results are, my colleague has a presentation on carbon footprints, which is marvelous, actually. And we had, within 2 years, 3-4 papers coming out from these. One in PNS and coming in 2011. 3 in Global Change Biology Bioenergy. So, yeah. Keep watching. They will be there. Thank you so much.
Any questions for Ajay?
When you initialized your lands by herbicides and killing it, did you really get an equal land?
So basically equal land, so, you know, we cannot change the land, first of all, I would say. Land quality is something which is based on slope, and there are several other factors. What is the hydraulic conductivity to 1 meter? I use the Sargo data set to extract all those informations. What we did was that in the CRP grassland, there was a brome grass growing, right? We totally killed the brome grass. That means a zero plantation there, zero plants there, total kill. On the agriculture sites, there was no grass, right? There was corn and soybean rotation, but a season before that, there were weeds growing there. Just to compare each other, we killed those weeds too with the herbicide. Total kill. And starting from point zero to see what happens.